My cultivation for Dhamma leadership. Okay? This talking about Dhamma leadership is not only about our self, my cultivation. At one time, a challenge. When there's a challenge, multiple pressure, then there's a time how to withstand pressure. This kind of training is necessary. This kind of mind training is necessary. Train the mind under challenge, under pressure. Okay? This is the human relationship. Then train the mind in conflicts. If it is conflict, how are you going to deal with it? Do you have the patience and forgiveness? Patience and compassion, you know? And be unprovoked, you know? This is very necessary. This is necessary. Then be a role model, honing. Honing, what I mean is like, you know, you grind the, you know, the knife. You know, hone the knife, you stone or something like that. So more. So role model and honing. Then learn also, train the mind in mistakes. When mistakes happen, how? Learn to have quick recovery through forgiveness, to forgiving oneself and forgiving others. Quick recovery is very necessary. If you don't have the ability, then it's very sad. You can have all the good points, but you cannot afford to make mistake. If you make mistake, then you are finished. Then this is no good. Quick recovery is necessary. Quick recovery through quick learning. Some people, quick recovery through forgiveness is when you forgive, okay, it's over. No more. Now you are fresh start. This is also quick recovery. Quick recovery through learning. You learn very fast. You know, oh, this is a mistake. Quickly you recover and avoid the mistake. So this is the thing. And when at the time of confusion, you know, even in a situation where you cannot see the way out, it's very confused, everybody's confused, then at least you can guard your mind. Let the mind here and now be unconfused. Keep a clarity of mind. Whether you got an answer or not, do not be confused. Then there's a wholesome present causes. Even in confusion, you don't know what to do, and you can ensure that your present causes is wholesome, and you continue to grow in various aspects, in all the wholesomeness, while you're waiting to find a way out. This is very important. Then the psychology also. How to deal with provocation, how to deal with temptation, how to deal with threats. This is also the mind training. Train yourself, have a strong psychology. Then there's obstacle. Train yourself in obstacle. Internal, turn the internal things, whatever that is, turn it into advantage, and external also. And then detach and turn. Turn means change the situation, change the direction, and try to emerge out of it. But whatever it is, in simple terms, it means just get the best out of every situation. Okay? So, and at the time of stalemate, changing equilibrium. When there's a thing, you're stuck, nothing. Then changing equilibrium by changing the causes. You know equilibrium? Equilibrium is a kind of balance. But if the balance is in the wrong balance, you know, it's not progressing, it's a stalemate, then you change something so that shake it up so that you can move on and can make progress. Mara, when there's attack from the invisible forces, or internal Mara or external Mara. Internal Mara means defilements. External Mara means actually some being trying to split you, trying to put you down. Then at the time, you must be aware not to fall prey to Mara. Sometimes Mara want to make you people become enemy of yourself. Then tell yourself, no, I'm not going to be so foolish. Okay. And also the breakthrough limitation. Sometimes it's a limitation of thought. When you think you cannot, then you cannot. Okay? So the limitation of thought is very dangerous. The other one is the limitation of resources. Sometimes we say, oh, we cannot do anything because our resources are very little. But sometimes without knowing that, we can enhance our resources. Sometimes by changing certain strategy. And the peace time. And in the peaceful time, what you should do? Don't be complacent. Be careful. Watch out for that. Complacence. When you have this feeling of complacence, everything is nice, don't make effort, then reflect on impermanence. That good time can also go. Good time can vanish, you never know. Don't always take things for granted that good time will not pass. Good time may pass also. Then lose guard. In peacetime, it is easy to think that, oh, it's good, everything is good. Why worry? Why work so hard? But you lose God. Eh? Then you have to reflect on death. One day, if I die, what happened? Then that's the issue about preservation and safeguard. It's necessary for the mastermind to have this consideration. And then sometimes for the mastermind, they have to decide. Sometimes the whole organization or whole thing, sometimes have to change the platform, start the place, start something somewhere else or whatever. Okay, this is also something, a duty the mastermind must consider when the time comes. Then also the mastermind must also has a duty to know the trend. The trend of the time, the trend of the era, so that what they how they should decide, because very often people just do as instructed and follow, but the knowing the trend that this whole thing is going in this direction or whatever, then you know where you stand, where your organization stands. Okay. And for all these things, these are the few qualities that is very helpful for the mastermind to train in difficult time, in all the various scenarios. One, throughout the whole, all kinds of scenario, the mastermind must train very highly in non-self and to manifest in selflessness. And selfless mind can see better, can consider better. Then the second part of the Dhamma is the cause and effect. It's very, very important. We cannot emphasize enough the importance of cause and effect for Dhamma leadership. Okay, always very important, cause and effect. Then the third one is loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, equanimity, Brahma Vihara. Four qualities, very important for any leadership, anytime. Because the emotion part, if you neglect, you only talk a lot of reasons, then you will suffer. This is a thing that is necessary to know, Brahma Vihara. Then adherence to truth means the heart, the kind of always want to adhere to truth. And realism, realism means you must learn to take things really and rather than packaging or pretending or whatever. No, leader is very important to have that courage, you know, to regard things as they really are. Okay. So adherence to Dhamma by self-awareness. So sometimes we can develop this up to a point of tradition, culture, and right view, faith, of cause and effect, moral shame, moral fear, ideal, true benefits, etc. Adherence. We train people to adhere to Dhamma and make it a culture. Make it a tradition. And teach the right view so that naturally people know how to adhere, why they need to adhere to the Dhamma. Because of their right view, because of the faith of cause and effect, they will naturally adhere to Dhamma. Because of moral shame, moral fear, they will adhere to Dhamma. Because of the great ideal, grand ideal in their mind, then they willingly adhere to Dhamma. And because of thinking of the true benefits going to come, if they adhere to Dhamma, they were going to get this kind of true benefits, then they will adhere to Dhamma. So these are the factors. Okay. Then we also talk about this. One kind of tradition and culture is a passive undertaking and proactive undertaking. As we say, we don't seek power, we don't seek authority. So in that sense, we wait to be authorized. This is one passive undertaking. No. But at the same time, we have to balance with proactive undertaking, where the time when people are suffering, help are needed. And if we know we are capable, not with the intention to compete or to put other people down or for name or for fame, but we will have that proactive attitude motivated by compassion. So this proactive undertaking. So these two must balance, and you must know when to apply passive undertaking and when to apply proactive undertaking. If the mind is selfless, this is not too difficult to know. Then check and balance by collective awareness. Check and balance for mastermind. You cannot say as a leader, you don't. In fact, a good leader will expect to be check and balance, to receive check and balance by others. So the attitude is that, because you know check and balance is necessary, otherwise if you make a mistake, as mastermind, everything go down, ruin. So it is necessary to seek balancing factors and elements, respect it. When people perform and your peers or your companies check on you, you must respect it and then be grateful. Being grateful. Thankful for the check and balance. Then directing compliance. Okay? At one point of time, directing compliance is necessary. There's no choice. And when people cannot have that kind of maturity and wisdom to appreciate the mastermind and to follow, then you have to issue something like ultimatum, or you just have to decide if you comply or not comply. That's it. So in this case, it's mastermind, directing, executors. This is one way. Second way is through appropriate meritocracy. In the sense that you get it done correctly, okay, then you get the reward. If you don't get it done correctly, sorry, no. Okay? So that's what in Nepal, as I told you the story, in Nepal, that's what we did. In a way, we are directing compliance. People don't comply by themselves, but with appropriate meritocracy. Okay, if they perform well, they get a good bonus. If they don't perform, they don't deliver, the bonus is less. So in this way, the mastermind apply appropriate meritocracy and people come up with the performance. This is also one way. So these are lower way. The best way is people have their own initiative to perform well, to do good. That is when they are living, their wisdom and maturity is high. Otherwise, they just have to be directed, direct their compliance. And credibility also. The credibility of the mastermind, for example, the mastermind who always deliver good, true benefits to others. Then because of the ability to always deliver true benefits, after some time, after a long time, they got the merits. So when they say something, people naturally, willingly trust. Even if they don't understand, they will trust. Because these leaders always deliver true benefits. You know? I've seen this in my teacher also. Okay? No need to do this and no need to do that. Just because he has gone through all the hard work and all the time, year after year, deliver good things to everybody. So he got the credibility. So when he says something softly, that already direct compliance. Even if the follower don't understand, they will all comply because of the credibility of the leader, of the mastermind. This credibility comes from through years of deliverance of good things, of good true benefits. That occasion of true benefits, this is also another duty of the mastermind. Okay, this is another issue already. Allocation of true benefits. The principles of allocation of true benefits is one. It is very easy to go by the idea of, well, let's be equal, everyone same. It is nice. It is a very beautiful idea in the last century and the century before. Someone came up with a very great, beautiful idea. But will it work or not? Sometimes it may work, but in certain, under certain limited context only. But in most cases, it may not work so well. So, there must be, the principle is that it must have a power to regenerate further inputs. If you just allocate benefits to people freely, generously, freely, but people may get lazy. Is it or not? When they get lazy, they don't work on the real causes, then there will be no real income, I mean the product. Then you will not be able to regenerate unless you keep borrowing and borrowed. That is why, despite with all the generosity, we cannot miss this. It is nice to be generous, but you need to make the true benefits should be able to be given in such a way that it motivate people to put in further right input. For example, when we give the bonus to people, if we give freely everyone the same, then it is very likely that
You know, it seems they think everything, whether I work hardworking or not hardworking, it will be the same. Though the hardworking one will not have the motivation, will be demotivated to put in further inputs. So that's the problem. But at the same time, we have to know in the Dharma world, this is just a general principle. In the Dharma world, we have other principles involved. For example, for Dharma worker, if you go by this kind of way, it can cause problem. You know, in the Dharma world, if you do this, this is only for, let's say, we handle the workers outside, whatever. In the Dharma world, we prefer to motivate people with Dharma. So if only motivate people with this kind of gain and reward and material gain, sooner or later, the Dharma power will disappear. So we need to have some kind of balance. This is very delicate. In fact, we are also searching. Frankly speaking, we don't have very definite answer also. But we always feel that it is necessary, it is better to motivate people with the power of Dhamma rather than motivate people with material gains. But we have to bear in mind, it works in at some time, but we have to be very careful. So these are the things that it requires further consideration from our part. Right now, we don't talk too much about it. We are still experimenting certain things. Okay? But I just want to tell you that there must be such a principle that it can regenerate further inputs. If it doesn't regenerate further inputs, then there's no such thing as keep giving up. Then if that cannot regenerate, then it cannot flow forever. Okay? Second, rewarding the inputs. Now, this is more clear. If you reward the inputs, then the input feel motivated to come in more and more. The third one, to master the motivation of contributors, to uplift the beneficiaries for continuous flow of goodness. It must be something. But if you give the true benefits, then eventually people become worse off, more bad character, then no point. That means that true benefits is not well deserved and it cannot last long. Okay? One important principle in the organization is that they want to keep the good work running continuously, continuous flow. So you don't do anything, you don't apply any policy which will cut this continuous flow. Okay? Just certain principle. Okay, doesn't matter. We just talk. Allocation of human resources. Optimization of human resources by fitting consignment of authority and resources. Give people suitable position, suitable mission and duty to perform. Optimization. Mastermind need to have the ability to understand and evaluate people in order to position people befittingly for highest efficacy. Ability to understand people, to put people in the right position. This is a duty also of mastermind. Of course, nowadays, we can have more scientific way to get the data, to evaluate people with facts and data. Nowadays, this kind of skills and technology is coming up. So in our consideration, outsider is people outside. In the organization, we do consider outsiders. Because outsiders one day may end up as a grassroots, as devotees also. So it's necessary to bear in mind the position of outsiders. So this Bhavana Maya Panya, Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, these are the going up. Along the, from here to here, these three things must increase more and more. Grassroots. Hopefully, grassroots, some of the grassroots can end up as executors, and some executors can be trained up to reach the level of performing the duty of mastermind. And all this should be based on record and history and public relations. Okay, just now we mentioned a little bit, now we say, this is all in Chinese, sorry. I didn't mean to teach here because it basically means you have to master many things. Involving many things, you know. It's a bit complicated, that's why I don't plan to bring up in the first course, you know. But this one I taught in China because they've gone through many courses already. So like that. In simple term, it means you need to master what is internal, external, the position, the vision, everything. In order to be able to deal with public relation. In simple terms like that. Ability, knowledge, you know, insight, things are like that, you know. Sutta Maya Panya means hearing knowledge. I'm sure you know, some of you know. Sutta Maya Panya here, the first one, is hearing knowledge. Now when you hear about Dhamma leadership, you have the Sutta Maya Panya regarding Dhamma leadership. Everyone has Sutta Maya Panya regarding Dhamma leadership. But when you come to, how am I going to apply? Now I have this problem in my hand. How am I going to apply? So while you're having the discussion, you are thinking how to apply and working on it and try to reason it out and try to see that in your context. And after some time, it becomes Sutta Cinta Maya Panya. It becomes yours. But still, it may not be true, may not be really reliable until you practice up to a level by direct experience. You see exactly such cause will produce such a result, such cause will produce such a result. And then you become fully convinced. It's become very clear. No doubt about it. That's Bhavana Maya Panya. Through cultivation, the wisdom arising based on cultivation. Cinta Maya Panya, wisdom arising due to thinking, based on thinking. And Sutta Maya Panya, wisdom arising based on hearing. So, in this way. Okay? Yes. In fact, all these three knowledge should go up more and more. Higher you go, on going up the hierarchy, then all this knowledge should increase along. If it's not increasing along, it go upside down. You know? Yeah, more like the lower one, you know. But even the mastermind should have a lot of Sutta Maya Panya, Cinta Maya Panya, Bhavana Maya Panya. Okay? But usually outsider, they know nothing. Then slowly they get some Sutta Maya Panya. But along the journey, more and more of this Panya should increase. All three should increase. Okay? These are more complicated ones regarding successors. You know, I don't plan to bring in here. Because I don't think you'll be very much interested also. Because this is, now we are a startup, we're already talking about long time successor passing on. Then everyone wants to quit. You know? So, I don't know. Basically, it's about slowly let people move on the ladder stage by stage, not suddenly jump up here. No, we don't do that. And how to bring in new blood. The principle, basically simple explanation. If you want to attract new blood in, you have to organize yourself in such a way that people will feel more advantageous but joining rather than not joining. Not joining, less advantage. Joining, more advantage. Then you don't need to work very hard to attract people, to beg people to come in. They will come in naturally if they realize coming in, they live a better life. They progress more in the Dhamma compared to not coming in. If you can have this mechanism, don't worry. But if you milk dry, you make people too over exhausted, then people get tired. Then slowly the idea of coming in is exhausting, is not helpful for the practice, is not helpful for your upbringing, your progress. Then people will be disinclined to come in. So if you want to attract new blood, we have hope to attract talents, we must organize ourselves in such a way that our presence here, our participation of this organization, make us better person, make us grow, make us happier, make us wiser. You have to do like that. That is why the second beneficiaries and third beneficiaries, the welfare for these two beneficiaries are very important. If you neglect the welfare for the second beneficiary and third beneficiary, remember who? Who are they? Dhamma servers and teachers. If they don't get better, then people can see. Then people become disinclined to join, to come up the ladder. That is the time that the organization will go down very quickly. So things like that, huh? So this is about overcoming difficulties, multiplying, continuation and multiplying. Okay, huh? This I don't plan to talk in this camp. Then how to copy, how to multiply. This is still a lot of things. What are the good conditions in order to support multiplication in the Dharma world? There's a lot of discussion those days. Very thorough discussion. But here, we have limited time. This is just to let you know that we can have many things. But I think that's enough for today, for this course. Because in one course, suddenly I jam in everything. It is too heavy and it's too difficult to digest. So I think this is sufficient for many years to come for the operation of American Dharma Society. This is for the more ambitious one who want to go spread far and wide to the whole world. Okay, then we talk about this. But right now, let's make sure we perform well as a small organization. Let's do our job, basic job well. And in future, these are no problem. These are knowledge are there. It's open for study. Okay?
I'm sure these 4 days you have a lot of input. Too much for you already. That's why I didn't complete. Some of the things is more for multiplication of great sasana work. Right now, you don't need to talk so far.
So for that reason, I think it's sufficient for ADS. Okay? So, get ready. So let's share Mary's aspiration. We conclude this session now. Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hotu. Idang me punyang nibanasa pachaya hotu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bajemi te sabbe me sama punya bagang labandu sadu sadu sadu.